It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Wirecutter is the product review arm of the New York Times. And in this season of gift giving, we get help from Wirecutter on choosing products that may come in handy in a Wisconsin winter. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your reviews at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah Whitman is a Wirecutter staff writer and a UW-Madison alum. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so with this Wisconsin focus, what Wisconsin-made products do you recommend that people check out?
Oh my gosh, we have a lot. Actually, every year we do a cozy week. So we have a whole page of different cozy stuff like blankets, touchscreen gloves, mug warmers. Something that I just used this morning is our electric kettle pick to make some tea. There's quite a lot that could get you through the Wisconsin winter from Wirecutter.
Okay, so how about these electric kettles? what should we look for in an electric kettle? I mean, I use one every morning at my house, and I'm setting it for my tea, which is 212, but my spouse wants it at 195. Sometimes I don't turn it back down. what are you finding out there?
I definitely have made the mistake of like burning my tea leaves by setting it too high. It's like especially good for tea because you can set like a really precise temperature depending on the type of tea you have. So much faster than what I used to do on the stovetop. It can bring your water to whatever temperature in like just a few seconds.
What were some of the downfalls of these electric kettles? Where did they fail?
I didn't personally test them. I'm just a long-term tester for that one. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the difference is just the different buttons, like how easy it, like can you just press one button to get it going, or is there kind of a more complicated display? Like the different handles, different types of spout. One that I have is like our gooseneck, so it has like a nice gooseneck spout.
I love the gooseneck spout. Yes.
They're just so pretty.
They're pretty, and they give you a precise pour, so you're not kind of like splattering around places. So I want to ask you about these beer advent calendars. What have you been checking on there?
One of my colleagues, Anne Marie, has been doing an advent calendar roundup every year, which I love because my family has always done advent calendars for the holidays. And that was one that I had actually thrown out to her as an idea. It's like made by an Etsy seller from Wisconsin. And yeah, every day you get a different beer. So I think anyone in Wisconsin would really like that.
You know, it's interesting, too, because there's, you know, advent calendars for coffee and hot sauce and cheese and chocolate, of course. What should we be looking for in these types of products?
I mean, I think definitely like trying to find ones with like less plastic waste is really great. And that's something that I like about the beer one. It's one that you could reuse year after year. I think just like knowing your audience, I actually don't prefer the tea advent calendars that I've had just because it's like, if it's not like to your taste, you're going to end up with a lot of extra teas that you might not like. Like beer, chocolate, I think you can't go wrong usually.
But you also have to kind of gauge the quality of the product as well, and that might be difficult. So you kind of have to watch there. I wonder, you mentioned touch green gloves. What is Wire Cutter looking at there?
Oh yeah, a few of my colleagues had tested touchscreen gloves over the past few years. They actually like had a walk-in freezer that they used to test those, which just to control the temperature. Although, yeah, like in the winter, you could also just test them outside in Wisconsin. But yeah, those are really nice just because, like some gloves, the material won't allow you to use your phone while you're outside. And so instead of using like fingerless gloves or like having to pull off your mitten to use your phone, the touchscreen gloves will allow you to, they have like a coating on the fingertips, that allows you to still use your phone.
Did you find any issues once those gloves go through the washing machine?
I'm not sure actually what they found with that. I think it depends on the gloves. Some of them it's like actually more built into the material.
Yeah,
But
and whether they hold up over time. Mug warmers, what are you looking at there?
yeah. That's a fun one that my coworker wrote. It's like they're just some of them have a special like it's like a little coaster almost that's electronic that you set your mug on, and some of them you can use any mug that you already use at home and you just set it on there and it heats up. But some of them I think are really cool where like they have a special material that the mug is made out of and the coaster, and so something about it allows it to heat up the mug, but like not be hot to the touch, which I think is really nice because, like, usually when I'm using a mug, it's like at my desk and I have a bunch of papers and stuff all around. So I don't really want like an open heating element on my desk.
Yeah, no. Sarah Whitman with us, writer for Wirecutter with the New York Times, as we look at Wisconsin-focused type products and how to choose different products. You can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. All right, Sarah, you've gone through the land of scented candles and maybe twice through the land. You spent about 50 hours researching more than 80 candles, testing 53. What can you tell us from this in this scented candle research?
This was one of my favorite guides to write. I usually cover batteries and like charging stuff, so this was like a big departure from that. But something interesting that I found out about candles is that depending on the type of wax, they're going to last, some of them will last longer, depending on the materials they're using and also the way that the candle itself is poured. So it's either going to burn up really quickly or take a long time to melt down. And then also like what you're getting when you are spending more on a candle is basically comes down to the fragrance. So like a pricier candle like Diptyque is kind of like the an iconic like pricey candle. A lot of those will include a lot more of the like flavor or sorry, fragrance components. So you're actually like getting more of that smell permeating throughout the room.
How did you determine the ways to describe the smells?
I mean, that was really challenging. Like if you've ever tried to like describe a food to someone, I just was like searching around for like woodsy, earthy, floral, like it's you really have to like I ended up using a lot of words that I don't use a lot in my normal writing.
Not the battery testing type words.
No, exactly.
What about wick trimming and how to manage that candle so it does have a nice long life? What did you find there?
I mean, I have a wick trimmer that I use when the top of the candle is getting really sooty. I mean, that will definitely affect like how much smoke your candle's giving off. Like, you want to minimize the smoke that you're getting. You want mostly just the fragrance and like a clean burn. So yeah, it is good to like keep the wick trimmed up. And I mean, we did test some different wick trimmers and like candle snuffers. And really, there wasn't a huge difference between those. A lot of them are really similar, but yeah, I think especially like if you're giving a candle as a gift, that can be a nice like thing to kind of maintain that candle and keep it lasting longer.
How long did you allow the candle to burn, and what is a good amount of time, for each instance you burn the candle?
We let them burn for an hour, and then I took like the full weight of the candle and then used that to calculate like how much weight it had lost in that hour to determine like how quickly it was burning up the wax. And so a lot of candle companies will give you like a burn time, which is like their estimate. But I felt like it was better to kind of get like a uniform test across the board for all of them. So that allowed us to compare and calculate the burn times.
Sarah Whitman is a writer for Wirecutter with the New York Times, sharing testing and research on products that may be helpful in a Wisconsin winter. Call in with a question, share comments along the way, 800-642-1234. There's more conversation with Wirecutter ahead. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The journalists at Wirecutter from the New York Times, they conduct testing on a range of products to create their recommendations. And we focus on reviews for items we may encounter in our day. And you can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. You can add comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah Whitman is with us, a writer at Wirecutter. Sarah, most of your work is about electronics. Do you see tech products that could be particularly useful in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, anyone can make use of a power bank or a charger for their phone. Something that I think would be particularly good for Wisconsin listeners would be our portable power stations. It's something that's kind of, it's like the biggest ones are the size of like a microwave. But I try to recommend ones that are less than 50 pounds, so it's easy to pick up and lift into a trunk. You can bring it camping with you, and keep like a lantern charged, keep your phone and your laptop going, just so you have a little extra power when you're camping. And then I also recommend it in the guide for tailgating. So if you're tailgating a Badgers game or a Packers game, you can keep all your stuff charged.
Now, how do you compare the ability of these portable power stations to recharge once you're done with your outing?
Well, there's a couple different ways you can recharge most of them. You can use a solar panel plugged into them. Most of them come with a cord, so you can charge it from the port in your car, like the cigarette lighter port. And then just a wall outlet. I usually try to keep mine at like a half charge, so then if I am going on a trip, I can charge the rest of it up pretty quickly and just have it charged up and ready to go. Or if there's like a power outage, then I'll have a little bit extra power.
So I would imagine the heavier they are, the bigger they are, microwave size, that would mean a lot more power with you.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the size that you want, we recommend like a couple different sizes, but yeah, it just depends on like the type of device you want to charge. So like some of them have a higher output, so those are better for something that takes a little bit more power, or some of them have a longer runtime, so if you're charging like lower power devices like phones and laptops and stuff, you can have like hours and hours of backup power.
You also have been looking at portable solar chargers. What do you find in this area of charging and what the technology is looking like and where it's headed?
Yeah, I mean, I've been testing those for the past few years, and I mean, the technology with solar panels has gotten a lot better from like when I was growing up. I feel like they were a lot less efficient than they are now. And to test those, I was looking at things like how much surface area each one has. And these are specifically for like portable solar panels, not like ones that you would put on your house. Yeah, but these like will fold up. And so you want one that like folds up really small so you can put it in your backpack or like in your trunk for like an emergency situation. But then you also want it to, when it's unfolded, be as big as possible so that you can like catch every ray of sun and turn it into power.
Now, if I understand this right, you took a portable solar charger to rural Malawi. Is that right?
Yeah, that was a few years ago when I was first testing them, but like my friend was in the Peace Corps and I went there for a few weeks to visit her. And it was like super rural. I mean, she was living in like the same conditions as the people there. And so she told me to bring like as much powering stuff as I could. And yeah, this was like before I worked at Wirecutter, and I didn't know a lot about charging at that time. And the one, whichever one I had just bought on Amazon was really not great, and I ended up just having to get rid of it while I was there.
If you would go back again now, there would be better technology, you would have better options, and I would imagine better results.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is like the big service that Wirecutter provides is like instead of buying whatever one you can kind of decipher is the best one from like Amazon reviews, which are like often not reliable. If you are buying something that's Wirecutter recommended, you know that we've like tested it in a real world situation and like can stand behind the quality.
Sarah Whitman is our guide from Wirecutter, staff writer at Wirecutter from the New York Times. You can join in on products and questions. They're testing as well. The number to join in is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah, one of your colleagues wrote about the growth of counterfeit products on Amazon. Do you see a quality difference in products from online retailers versus brick and mortar stores?
Not necessarily online versus brick and mortar. Like a lot of the time, actually, like I'll go into a brick and mortar store and see a lot of the same brands and models that I'm seeing like in my research online. But yeah, I think it depends a lot on the brand, and yeah, whether or not it's been vetted.
How are products at Wirecutter typically tested? Can you walk us through the process?
Yeah, we do a lot of research up front. talking to experts, and then like online research. And we try to narrow it down as much as possible at that stage because usually there's just like so many different options. And then from there, we'll request the products we want to test from the companies, or otherwise, we'll just buy them. And then some of our staff is located in New York, and we have an office there and like a testing facility where people will test, especially like bigger things like washer and dryers and treadmills, and things that it would be hard to test, like 10 washing machines at home.
You think?
Yes. But yeah, the rest of us are located like all over the country, and we mostly test out of our homes, which I think gives us a lot of like real world perspective and like helps us like understand the needs of the people who will be using the products.
You've written about the importance of recycling electronics. When should people replace their tech, knowing that old devices might go to a landfill?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is huge. Like the longer this stuff electronics, like the more that they're becoming part of our everyday lives, and like everything is smart and contains a battery these days. It's just like more important than ever to recycle your electronics. Like I recommend a couple different sites, like Earth 911, which helps you locate a recycling facility in your area, and it lets you narrow it down by like the type of thing you're trying to recycle, because I think that can be really confusing. Like some places will accept batteries, some places won't. And then also there's like some mail-in options if you're like homebound or just like really busy and can't make it to a recycler. Yeah, there are different mail-in services you can use too.
Does the environmental danger of putting batteries into landfills, is that in, you know, what about those that are embedded rechargeable batteries like in an electric toothbrush? What do you do there?
Yeah, and so there are some companies that will accept those kinds of devices, or actually a lot of local places too. You just really have to yeah, like use those resources to find out what they will accept. But yeah, I mean, that's a huge issue that I think our country is dealing with, is like how to recycle these products. And especially because the Earth only has like a finite amount of these metals that are found in a lot of electronics, like cobalt and lithium. So I think electronic recycling is only going to become more of an important thing in our society, to be able to like salvage those metals instead of mining more metals.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sarah Whitman is a UW-Madison alum and a writer for Wirecutter with the New York Times. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.